CliffCentral.com.
All right, CliffCentral.com. Look at me, all on my own on the screen here. All the others are gone. There's no Leanne. There's no Mbulelo. Look at that. It's fantastic. Love doing the show on my own. Amazing. I'll just let you see the glory of this this curtain. Look, you see if I open it like that, much too bright, right? Much too bright. Anyway, I'm in Cape Town for another day, and then over the weekend, back in Johannesburg on Sunday. And then next week, I'm going to need to spend the whole weekend just getting over this weekend. I can tell you it's going to be big.
Oh, go for it. Go for it.
Oh, my God. No. Just silence on the app in the break. No promos, no elevator music. Weird. Oh, okay, wow. Carl, don't know what happened there. We'll try and figure it out. Anyway, a lot of people speaking about this vampire woman that we were showing just now. In fact, I think Simpiwe liked it the most when we went from Margot Robbie to the vampire woman. She says she hasn't stopped laughing. So there we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's this is Friday morning. We've got lots of headlines to get through, some other stories in the news. We'll also speak to our guest this morning, Tembo Robin. We're going to get to that in a moment or two. Let us know what you're up to and send us messages on the YouTube channel. So like, subscribe, blah, 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 blah. You don't need me to say it. You already know what those requirements are, right?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, if you'd like to get hold of us, probably the best way is on YouTube, because as we were discussing earlier, haven't really checked that WhatsApp line for, 2 years. So if you've been sending messages to us on the WhatsApp line, don't be surprised if you haven't heard from us in return, you know? Might have just been forgotten, pushed to the bottom of the queue.
Askies.
Askies.
Exactly. Listen, so January is obviously the hardest month, and apparently Monday was the most depressing day of the year for everybody. We didn't really reflect on that until Tuesday. It was called Blue Monday, and it's the Monday they figure people are the most depressed all year because
January.
Yeah, money's at an all-time low in January, obviously. But also, you've just come down from realizing that you're not going to achieve any of your New Year's resolutions. What was the other reason? Oh, yes, because in the Northern Hemisphere, it's terrible, terrible weather. And the first, I mean, the second January, they say of, second Monday of January is always the worst in terms of how people are feeling about themselves. You don't have that euphoria of New Year and New Year's Eve or the day or two after New Year. It's like a couple of days later, you have to go back to work. There's nothing to look forward to in January except bills, all that kind of stuff. So if you made it this far and you haven't offed yourself yet, congratulations.
Jeez.
No.
Just saying, you know, small mercies. We don't take stock of how lucky we are. I was talking to a bunch of people yesterday about how we don't appreciate, like, you know, there could have been a couple of 100,000 people who came out of absolute and abject poverty in the last year or so, but no one's putting that on the headlines of a newspaper. We don't, for example, realize that, you know, there must have been a couple of hundred or a couple of thousand people here in South Africa that have suddenly either had houses built for them, RDP houses, or have had water laid on, or have had some other kind of service from the government. Maybe they've been added to that enormous social welfare net that we have. But we don't take stock of the good things that happen. We only report to each other on the bad things. And I'm going to make a conscious effort this year to be really aware, conscious, and grateful for the little improvements, the little things that you take for granted. You know, this morning, I woke up not feeling sore. It's, you know, you only realize when you're aware of these things that waking up having a pain in your leg, for example, or not having heart problems, or not having breathing difficulties.
Cancer.
Or cancer. You don't realize
it. Cancer-free.
Like I woke up this morning feeling like my body works properly is something nobody thinks. And then suddenly on the day that they're sick and they don't feel good, they're like, oh, I didn't feel like this yesterday. I should have been grateful for this yesterday. Nobody says that. Nobody takes stock of the good stuff.
I landed my dream job or...
Yeah.
Yeah. I cashed out investments that I didn't remember that I had.
Yeah. Or...
I mean...
Yeah, No, it's a good point. I mean, 2 days ago, I went to Woolworths, and they didn't have the cauliflower spread, which is not hummus. But then yesterday I went, and they did have it. You know what I mean? It's the little things. Yeah. No, you go. You take the small wins. You know what I mean?
It's okay, so Carl says yesterday in the Burning Platform, you used the word deleterious. Mm. I had to look it up, and now I'm using it.
Excellent.
Thanks. Oh, well, good. Yeah. Very, very good. That's important. Everybody has to use the word deleterious every now and then.
And learn words. Mm. Like, you shouldn't be offended. People shouldn't be offended when they don't know stuff. I know some people go, oh, stop being so white and using those long words. I say, stop being so thick and wasting your parents' money at school. You know what I'm saying? It's not my fault.
But I don't think you sound white. Like, I know that there's this private school kind of accent that everybody seems to have, right, mm-hmm. in South Africa. And you can tell if someone's been to Michael Haas or Hilton by the way they speak usually.
Yeah, oh, that's a Michael Haas.
This is Watts included.
Yeah.
Watts included. Yeah,
that's a different accent.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But it's funny, like somebody said, they were talking about someone the other day, and they said, oh, if you heard her on the phone, you wouldn't even know that she was Portuguese. How would a Portuguese person sound on the phone? I'm like, I don't understand how that works.
Yeah.
Oh, we shall love the place.
Tell me, what's that all about? It's madness, right? Oh, my God. All right. Yeah, that's
it's like my dad, who's a boomer, obviously. He often says, and I was on the phone to them, and I was waiting for a while, and then, I spoke to someone. It was a woman.
was a woman.
Does it matter?
It was a woman. All right. Oh, my God. All right, let's talk to Temba. I'm very excited to have this guy on the show this morning. So Temba Robin, well-known MC, actor, voice artist, content creator, and what I'm most excited about, he runs the biggest quiz in Johannesburg. So let's talk to him straight up. Hey, Temba, how's it, man?
Hey, Gareth. How's the team? How are we doing?
Good, dude. Nice to see you. And, of course, a lot of people will recognize your face straight away and your voice. But it's nice to have you on the show. It's the first time we've had you on.
No, thank you. It's awesome.
Oh, my God. Mbulelo. Yes? What is it, Leanne?
I was going to say, I follow you on TikTok.
Ah, very good.
Okay, I'm gonna have to give you a special shout out. On the old TikTok, doing TikTok properly, but it's working. So I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing.
Oh, yeah. No, you're doing it. No. I can tell you, you're doing it properly.
So tell us all these things that you're doing. Like, what takes up the most of your time? What are you busiest with at the moment? And how long do you have to be busy to get that done? If I had this list of things that you're doing on my daily to do list, I wouldn't know where the hell to start.
Yeah, I guess it feels like that most days. I think two things. So I don't do the biggest quiz anymore. I actually left the quiz scene a little while ago. And then I actually work as the marketing and sales manager for a gin distillery in the Western Cape. I do the Gauteng region.
Oh, wow.
So that's pretty much my day. And then literally every other moment is making content, emceeing events, doing voiceovers, that sort of thing. So it is a bit of a juggling.
Old white ladies spell gin differently. It's D-G-I-N. It's gin.
The gin. It makes me think of that song by Beats by Hand. Did Zin make me... Have you heard that song? Remember that one?
Hey, let me ask you about this gin. Do you drink gin? I mean, do you like gin, or are you just... this for the job?
No. I didn't drink gin before I started working there. I'll tell you that much. But it is a premium, and it's good enough gin that it'll persuade even the most staunch non-gin drinkers. And I've been to places like Wolmaranstadt, I've had to convince some aviation gentlemen that they should try gin, and they say, "Nee, ek drink nie daai." And then like the next day, Oaks were laying into the gin like it was no one's business. So, you know, it's good stuff.
That's amazing. I've still yet to develop a taste for anything except tequila. I've just never been able to drink any other stuff in a serious way. Of course, I'm in the in the Western Cape now, and people take wine very seriously here.
Yeah.
But it is amazing. You think the gin craze is over? Because I say probably about 5-6 years ago, it was easily the biggest thing, and there were these little gin bars opening up everywhere, and you know, people were all talking about gin the whole time. No, you think it's still a thing?
Yeah, I think it's just become super acceptable. I think it's going to plateau. So, I mean, it was skyrocketing at a point. But it's going to plateau. The market share is a bit of a struggle because there's still new guys coming into the market. Yeah. And there's not enough shelf space.
So what's yours called? What's the one you work with called?
Six Dogs. Six Dogs.
Oh, I've seen Six Dogs. Okay. Very nice.
So we got Six Dogs Blue Karoo Pinotage. Yeah.
So, dude, I hear about like all these things that you've done from an acting point of view. You've done a bunch of TV ads, which, I mean, go through some of those so that people might, you know, they might recall. Because when I look at you, you look insanely familiar. But if you maybe tell us which ads you've been in, then we'll remember.
Okay. The only reason I look familiar is because I'm usually like lurking somewhere behind you when you're out and about. No, just kidding.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. Not creepy at all.
none taken. The most notable one I think that's on at the moment, it's been running for about 3 years, is Tubbo the Quarter King. It's a budget insurance ad where I crash the car while I'm eating a quarter. so this it's quite funny though. You actually realize how the advertising world works, where like literally only my black friends and like black people know me from Tubbo the Quarter King. If I go to like my white mate, I'm like, hey, did you see my ad? And they're like, no, we have not seen that one. And I like, I'll show them. Not that I go around doing that either. Like, hey, look at this ad. But I show them. They're like, oh, we haven't seen this one before. So it's always interesting. But there's that, there's Hippo. I did series of Hippo ads. Where I lost my hand in a boat and another weird thing.
So hang on a second. Do these insurance companies not demand exclusivity from you?
Yeah, yes, but I don't know if I'm speaking out of turn, but it's pretty much all the same house as far as Hippo sends you to
Dalstein. Shout out to Dalstein, my guy.
Yeah, they're all the same.
Yeah, Dalstein didn't build his house for free, Gareth. He owns all of it.
Yeah.
Shout out to my guy.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. All right, so Tembo, I mean, you got a nice setup there as well. You got like a very professional looking microphone. Obviously, you do some work from home, so you do what, voiceovers and you know some production stuff as well.
Yeah. So my main thing is doing voiceovers. So I've been building a studio over a period of about 3 years. I started off with like like a laptop, tiny little microphone and stuff, and it's gotten to the point where it's quite comfortable. I've got a little recording room next door. It was nice to have, I think, when COVID came through, because everyone and a lot of the professional guys were scrambling to get a home setup, you know, going. And I was like, well, already here.
And when did you get into dildos? I see that really nice big dildo behind you sticking out from the bookshelf.
This right
I have a similar one. Yeah.
That's a Nerf gun.
Dildo Nerf gun. You know.
Leanne thinks everything's a dildo, you know?
I had a cold rush come over me as you said that because I was like, what? Have I typed something in it? My internet search history. I said it was incognito. It was incognito.
You're sharing your screen and it's all on porn.
Yeah, man. All right, listen, we got to talk about some of these other things you've done because you've been in a couple of Netflix series too. How did those things happen and tell us what it was?
Yeah, so the Netflix thing is it's a bit of an odd thing at the moment because I don't think I've got more than 5 minutes screen time, but you know if you don't start pushing
more
this
than,
stuff
more than me and Bulelo and Leanne have on Netflix, I mean,
wait,
okay, so Exa, yeah, Exa pretty much trying to own it. So we did Dead Places a couple of years ago. That was No, Dead Places was the second one. The first one was Shadow, the South African superhero guy.
Okay. I remember that. But,
yeah. Quite a cool storyline, with Motion Story. They're in Parkhurst-y area. And yeah, pretty much just went for audition, and they said, yeah, we'll have you on. So I played like a gangster drug dealers, or not even drug dealers, it's like a gangster type of like, but I ended up getting chased away.
Close to real life, so that must have been
exactly.
Art imitates life. Art imitates. Yeah.
You look like one of those guys who causes huge trouble in town, and you have a lot of people who work for you, and you get protection money from small businesses. Is that
everywhere,
right?
Everywhere I go, just shudders. People are scared. People move off the prime seats at the bars. They just disappear. That was that one. And then the second one, I played like this hippie dude who ends up getting killed because he sees a nice lady, gets out the car. And you should know this.
How soon into it, though? Because it's usually the black actors who are killed off right in the beginning, isn't it?
Episode 2 made it to episode 2. Although I wasn't in episode 1, so, you know, give or take. But there's a element of longevity there. But yeah, so it's been fun. You know, it's nice to put little things like that on your CV. Every little bit helps.
Oh, absolutely.
So at the moment, it's all a big
hassle. I'm sad you're not doing the quiz nights anymore. I remember I had a girlfriend whose dad was very much into quiz nights, and he asked me to be on his team, and we went. It was quite – you have to be quite disciplined because you have to go for like a couple of weeks in a row, and then they sometimes have these big prizes. And I remember I went with him and like these two older guys. So it was me and these three old men, and it was hilarious. I think we called ourselves the cunning stunts, I can't remember, or something like that. Anyway, we went to this this quiz night, and we did quite well. We won. And then we won some trip to Mozambique.
Modest.
So we won a trip to Mozambique to go scuba diving or something. Now, I'm not interested in scuba diving, and I certainly didn't want to go with these three old geezers. So I think we swapped prizes with the people who came second, and we got like a book voucher or some such shit. But these quizzes are a big deal, man. People are very competitive. They take it very seriously. You can have 100 to 200 to even more people in the place in one night. And it's quite a big deal, especially before lockdown, obviously.
Mm. No, I mean, I got into quiz when I moved to Joburg about 5 years ago. And it was, I think the thing that gripped me first is I went to a quiz night and I realized how little I know about the world I live in. It is ridiculous. And it's really simple stuff that we... You know, we overlook. It's really, really crazy. So I got into it because I wanted to learn more, started writing my own questions and that sort of thing. And got into the quiz scene. I know one thing that the guys usually complain about in the quiz space is that questions tend to be plucked from the internet. So it's very, it's based out of the Americas or the UK or Europe kind of thing. Mm. So it's, when did the Queen fall off her donkey? And they don't care. They don't care. So I've learned to write questions that will make you feel bad when you don't know the answer. That way you can't take it out on me. So you know,
like you're supposed to know.
Yeah. Which country? Yeah.
What makes it cool is like some of these quizzes where the quizmaster's really on their game. They have like a whole sound set up and everything, and they'll play like a little clip of some song, and you know, one category is music, and you have to guess what the song and the artist are and put those down. Then for sport, they'll like put up a picture of someone, like famous racist Mark Boucher, for example. They'll put that up on the screen, and then they'll say, who is this
person?
Isn't
that deleterious?
It's very deleterious to his character, absolutely. So it's multimedia. It's not just like personal question cards standing up there and doing it. Bulelo, you would love it because you're so competitive. You'd love that stuff.
I never get good partners. And I mean, as you know, king of modesty.
Of course.
I am quite good at that kind of stuff. Great memory. I have read a lot. You people are terrible at this. I hate losing. I'm never playing again. So I'm not really a big fan. It's hard to find a good...
So much fun to play with you. So much fun.
I want
to
win. I want to win. Why are we at the quiz night? Like, I hate it when people...
Okay, I'll tell you what. I feel the same way, but I'm not as vehement as you are about it. So why don't you and I go to one night of a quiz night? If we don't win that night, we don't ever have to go again.
Okay.
I'll host. I'll
okay,
host,
you host. Yeah,
let's
do it.
Yeah,
and Leanne can come as our, no, you are as our, you're our eye candy.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I was expelled from a quiz night. The,
what?
The only one that I ever did.
How?
Yes.
Did you use your friends?
You have to be a horrible. You have to be a horrible person to be kicked out of a quiz night. I mean, you see the dregs that come to a quiz night.
That's like some pure levels.
What did you do? What did you do?
I was very, very drunk. And I kept saying, can you repeat the question?
Can I just please jump in on this?
Yes, go ahead.
There's something, you know, you think when you become an adult, you just lose all those childlike practices or behaviors. When I sympathize with teachers, let me put it this way, because I walk in, I say, right, guys, we're going to play five rounds, round one to four, blah, 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 round five, blah, blah, blah. And I'll repeat every question two times at the very least. If you still haven't heard it third time, cool. But don't talk, you know, that sort of thing. And then people go, okay, cool, 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 cool. I ask a question. When was so-and-so? Can you repeat the question? Dude, I haven't said it two times. If I said it two times, then you bother me.
And then see how easily I was expelled.
The music question is worth two marks. Give me the name of the song and the name of the artist. Round three, people are coming around. Sorry, Mr. Quizmaster, is it two marks? Yes. Oh, we've only been giving ourselves one, or like we've only been getting one. Guys, like I don't.
You have no idea. Like Leanne was probably screaming at the top of her lungs, like, can you repeat that question? Or ordering drinks from the quizmaster. That's probably what you were doing. Like another round, please. I'm the quizmaster, actually. You know,
done that before. Hello, guys. Would you like to play a quiz? We're about to order drinks from him.
Rebellious Ruth wants to know, what is the highest mountain in Southern Africa? And go.
So I made a mistake. I thought it was the Mafadi, but Mafadi is like second or third, and I've forgotten.
No, Montsources, isn't it, in the Drakensberg?
Highest.
Well, that's the highest waterfall. Highest waterfall is that region. So probably Montsources is what I'd...
Drakensberg must be the highest mountain range. The highest point of the Drakensberg is Montsources. So
but
I'm
the
guessing
whole
that
of
one.
Southern Africa.
Yeah, well, come on, Ruth, give us the fucking answer. You can't do that. Ask a question, give us the answer. Rebellious. You see why play a quiz game with me and Bulelo? We're impossible. It's gonna be a disaster.
You know, it's worse is when you trust your teammates and they say it was 1988 and you say, Brew, for something tells me it was 1982. And he goes, okay, fine. You do it. It's fine. And then the quiz master says the answer and people can look at it. They look at each other like it's going to be a long time.
Okay. Run. Rebellious Ruth says, oh, I also thought it was Mafadi. That's what the school books say.
Yeah. I asked this a couple of weeks ago. And I thought it was Mafadi, but I was wrong. So I stand corrected on that.
God, you guys are useless. I don't like playing these games.
So
someone has to know that.
I'm going to go with Rhino Peak. That's what I'm going to go with in Underberg.
Okay,
I'm picking
it
up from Googling a Taba and Tlenyana.
That's
it. Taba and Tlenyana.
In Lesotho, which which means Goshogoti, beautiful little mountain in Sesotho. It's 3,482 meters.
All right.
It's called Beautiful Little Mountain.
I know, little.
The tallest one.
Someone needs to explain to. All right. Thank you very much, everybody. Now we can move on. I shouldn't have even thrown that question of Ruth's in. And Ruth, you can ask a question, know the answer. All right.
All the
no point
one.
Playing this game in this. Yeah, please. We had to rely on Leanne Moll, who everybody knows is only here for decoration.
Can you repeat the question?
Exactly. How dare you? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right. So, dude, you also sing, which is quite interesting. Like, you can do a whole bunch of stuff. You know, in the creative industry in South Africa, you have to be a jack of all trades. You can't do just the one thing. You can't just act, or you can't just sing, or you can't just, you know, do quizzes, for example. You have to do all of these things to make it. Now, how did the singing start? Don't tell me you were in a choir at school or something. That's so boring.
Ooh, no. Karen. I didn't. Drakensberg boys. Hello.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think if I had been in the Drakensberg boys, I wouldn't have done something like that. but you know, yeah,
Luis Obala was in the Drakensberg boys.
Yeah, and he's never made a peace sign on the show, like Temba said. Never thrown up a gang sign.
Case in point. Yeah,
right, I think exactly.
It's kind of like wrapped into the whole thing, you know. If you're extrovert, you might be into telling jokes or stories, which means you might be into music and singing and that sort of thing.
Right.
So I think it's just part of my makeup kind of thing. I've never really pursued it, to be honest, just been busy with other things. But yeah, I think once or twice I just thought, you know, how funny would it be if this was rewritten? You know, the world is a comedy, you know? So I think what I've done is instead of being taken as a serious musician, I just make short little like 30-second, 60-second parodies. So people quite enjoy those. And eventually I think I'll make enough parodies that they'll go, can't you sing us a real song? And I'll be like, I've been waiting for this moment for ages, and then rip off a sequin.
Come out with the boa.
You've got this song Driver's License. Just tell us about that.
Yeah, so actually, my mother-in-law's best friend, she's been trying to immigrate for the longest time, and she's been using a UK or something driver's license, and so she had to renew hers and get the card, but apparently, if you don't have the card, if you haven't switched to the card yet, you have to redo your license. So she goes through this huge schlep of doing that, and then now she's about to leave, and they're like, we can't give you a card because the machine's broken. And then obviously, straight afterwards, the story broke. And I just thought about it. I was like, man, I've got to write a song about it. And then it hit me. I was like, oh, Olivia Rodrigo, driver's license song. Perfect bass for that. So, yeah, slapped that together about the Very driver's nice. License machine. Yeah.
You said your mother-in-law's best friend.
Yeah. It's a long way around.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a hell of a... You don't need to know your mother-in-law's friends, do you? That's real torture.
Listen, it was a long December, man. It was a long December.
Lockdown has been hard on some people. Sure.
Real. You don't know what you got till it's gone.
And where are you based now? You said you're working for this gin company. So you're in the Western Cape?
No. So I look after Gauteng. So I'm happily in... in Jersey. Yeah. Which I'm thankful for.
I bumped into three people last night who are from Joburg, also down here in Cape Town. Apparently, there were no flights available yesterday. It seems like everybody who wants to be in Cape Town is in Cape Town from today because there were no flights available yesterday. I don't know if that's true for today, but one guy even went onto his app and he showed me. It's like, wow, looks like it's a pretty popular destination for this morning.
But can I ask you, Gareth, Cape Town, as
hello,
far
hello.
As...
you guys hear me?
Yes.
I can.
Yeah, loud and clear, yeah.
Sorry.
I wanted to ask you quickly, as far as Cape Town goes, would you say Cape Town people are friendly? Cape Townians, let me use the correct term.
No.
Every time I go to Cape Town...
They can't help it. It's They're very intimidated by people from a real city who actually work for a living, and they are they think that Cape Town is the world. There are many Cape Townians who've never left Cape Town, and they think Joburg is terrifying, and they think it's a place of just crime and crom. How do you live where you can't see the mountain and use it for, you know, locating yourself and orientating yourself. So it's scary for them. And if you're from Joburg also, they don't necessarily like you for a good reason, because every December, Joburg people come here and ruin their city for them. So there are all kinds of reasons why Cape Townians are not necessarily seen as friendly, but most of them, they can't help it. They're not even aware of that. And they click
you. That's a valid point. Yeah, I was going to say, going to Cape Town for me, because I do it quite frequently, it's kind of like a bring and bri, except you got to bring your own friends, otherwise you're sitting alone.
Exactly right, yeah.
And even your old Cape Town mates went.
I must tell you, though, like last night I saw loads of Cape Townians who I knew. I actually saw two of my friends I haven't seen for a while. And they seem to be having a very happy time here. And I always have a, you know, kind of warm reception from Cape Town when I'm here, so I mustn't be too mean.
Well, that's because you're Gareth Cliff. You're Gareth Cliff. The rest of us, the Cape Townians, go, piss off here. Like, you're not rich like my dad. get out of here. What are you even doing here? Yeah, your accent's funny. Go home, you.
A Cape Tonian summed it up for me. I was in my early teens having the time of my life in a convertible, driving through Camps Bay. And we had the music up and I was in my bikini and we were wearing Christmas hats, Asvali, feeling very happy about life. Mm-hmm. And in the traffic on the opposite side of the road was a local. And he looked at me straight in the eyes and he went, ho, ho, fucking ho.
Oh, wow.
Sitting in traffic delayed by all these Valis.
Oh, my God.
Enjoying our sunshine.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people are saying, you mean Table Mountain is not the highest mountain in South Africa? There must be a Captain Cook. Tembisa says, not fair, guys. Gareth, I even invited you for dinner. You declined. And now... Yeah, okay, so fair enough. Tembisa, you did invite me. You're not clicky. You're not a typical Cape Tonian. So, Tembisa, you're off the hook. Don't worry.
I'm free from dinners. Just putting it out there.
There we go. The Josie people go down in December and raise the GDP. If it wasn't for December, the whole place would die. See, that's the kind of attitude that makes Cape Tonians hate us. But, yes, yeah. You're probably right.
Right, that right there.
Yeah, no, it is true. Well, listen, Temba, it's good to have you on, dude, and I hope we continue to see you doing amazing things. And please, let us know when you're around, and we'll all pop into the studio together one morning and have some songs and make some trouble and create some noise and hopefully upset the neighbors.
Awesome. Unlike a scone, I'll bring some quiz questions.
Excellent. That's a good idea. We could do that live on the show one morning. Awesome. Thank you so much, dude. And have a lovely weekend. All right.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you, Temba.
Gareth.
Thank you.
Shut up, man.
Take it easy.
Cheers, dude. There's Temba Robin. And he's such a nice, friendly dude. And also, like, talented as hell. He can do all kinds of things, as we said.
What a nice guy.
Oh, yo, what a nice... Just what a gent. Nice.
Did you say what a nice?
What a nice,
nice guy.
So, you know those movies he was telling you about doing? My sister, her landlord was the guy who was the producer. So that's how I actually bumped into it. I met him there. He's exactly like he was. I met him. Because... The movie you were talking about with the South African Luke Cage.
It's so great about you, Mbulelo. It's so great when you say these stories about a guest after the guest has left. It's so great. It's
Would have been I also know you. I knew you knew each other because of your accent.
Yeah, oh well. I mean, he's just a gent. Go. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, 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 obviously.
No, he's just... Obviously, I know. Yeah, you should meet my mate Tim's.
All right. Here's an important question. Red Robin says... Bulelo, how much money would it take for you to kiss the vampire woman? She is again.
Like Frenchie?
Yeah, what does kiss mean? Like, kiss like my granny?
You might lose your lips in that.
I mean, you'd cut yourself, right? You would actually hurt yourself because, look, she's got those spikes in the bottom lip and in the bottom. Those are spikes and rings.
Imagine those teeth, like, came out and moved individually.
Here's
you don't have to make her more gross. She's already revolting enough.
Yeah, it would all depend on would somebody take a photo of it for the amount of money I'm going to get. So if people are going to know about the kiss, $100 million, because the internet lives forever. If it's
$100 million,
imagine how do you escape that once you've done it? Like the internet's forever.
Even though she is, what
I can
she
just
is.
See you going.
Cleaning
out for a little kiss.
Yeah,
the money.
No, it's $100 million. If it's a photo, $10 million. If no one's going to find out.
Okay, I think that's a little bit steep. I mean, it's really like it's the kind of dare that you would do with your friends at a busy bar or club or restaurant. I would say you've got to do it for like $100,000. That's now we're talking reasonable money.
No chance.
Listen, there's some men that I walk past in Pick and Pay, and I think I wouldn't kiss them for that amount of money. I'd rather kiss her.
Okay,
fair enough.
I like playing this game. This is also a fun game to play whenever you go out at night. You like find someone who's not particularly attractive, and you and your friends agree that that you for X amount of money you might. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and until it's me. And then it's like, oh my God, that's Can't believe it. Yeah. Can't believe they paid Hunt the grunt, and I was the grunt. That's terrible.
I'm sorry.
Did you say grunt?
Yes, he did. I can affirm. Wow.
Yeah.
Hunt the grunt.
All right. let's move on. We've got some other things to get to this morning, and we've also got George Meany joining us in just a short while. So there's lots of that going on. Anything exciting planned for the weekend, Leanne and Bolelo?
I'm going flat hunting.
Oh, fun. Exciting. So you're going to look for a new place to live.
Yeah. I'm quite into the idea of being, it's so weird. All my life I've owned property and had other dwellings on my land where I've been the landlord.
Dwellings.
Oh, look at you. Look at you.
And now I'm going to become a tenant. And I love the questionnaires that you have to fill in. And they're like, do you have any references from being a tenant before? And I'm like, no, but I was the landlord many times.
So does that help? Does that get you considered
top of the pile? Maybe I don't know how to behave like a tenant, you know? So, maybe I'll walk in there and start painting and redecorating their house.
And are you going to move? Are you going to move to a totally different area? You said there were some family ties, or do you have to stay in the area you are because you want to be in and around the fam, as the young kids say?
If we're talking particular suburbs, I'm moving out of the suburb I'm in right now. But I'm moving to, you know, the park, Spruce.
Yeah, as long as the Woolworths isn't too far, you know what I mean? You don't want the Woolworths getting too far.
Of course.
Yeah.
Isn't your neighborhood you're currently in also like a very student place, and they're always like loud parties late at night and all that kind of thing?
Hugely.
Yeah. You've got that neighborhood WhatsApp group, which is full of like complaining and whining people.
All the time. One of them started a new group the other day to speak specifically about, it's for those of us who contribute towards these separate clan of guards that we pay. Mm-hmm. And Max started the group and he said, hi everyone, just to let you know, this is the group. I'm just waiting for some other people to join. Two people responded, how do we join?
They were already like, on.
You're on the group. That's how you sent the question. I'm just sitting back watching this all. And the one person who asks the most stupid questions every time, her surname is Duh. I don't know how to pronounce it. D-U-H. And yeah. Duh always sends the most Duh questions.
That's hilarious. Duh. All right. Duh. So I suppose being a good tenant means you just have to be respectful of the other person's property, right? Not set things on fire.
I mean,
not,
I'm pulling
not
in
punch holes
cats.
In the ceiling. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I should be a dream tenant. I'm quiet. I don't listen to loud music. I keep it all in my headphones, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't have parties, so.
And you'll be up early in the morning to do the show with us, so you're an early riser, and that means you'll probably be in bed at 8 o'clock the night before. That's just how you are. That's how you roll.
Sure.
All right. Well, what are you looking for? Are you going to have a spare bedroom, or is it just going to be one bedroom?
I'm open to both, but shit, have you ever tried to move a three-bedroomed house worth of stuff?
One bedroom.
Oh, yeah. Lord. And, you know, the strangest thing is that I had the estate agent arrived yesterday with a photographer, and she arrived with a prospective buyer, which I wasn't expecting. Wow. And he's like, I love the place. I've seen two before, but this is the one. I'm sold. And can I move in on the 1st of February?
Oh, but that's a week or two. It gives you 10 days, right?
Yeah. So that's why I've started like making appointments.
Wow. Of course, you can do like a proper clean out and just throw out, sell.
I've already done that, yeah. I've been in the process in the past 2 weeks, and the house actually feels lighter. It's amazing. Really amazing feeling. I filled an entire room of stuff to give away.
Oh, fantastic.
And it's all disappearing now. So, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, there is a real liberation in getting rid of things that you don't need and clearing out the clutter, and also having less stuff to have to take with you to the next place. I mean, absolutely. It's almost like opening a new chapter, right? And you've got a clean slate to start with.
Yeah. I mean, the last time I moved from Cape Town to here, and it was in an emergency. So I didn't sort through anything before I left. Got the movers to pack absolutely everything and bring it up. So I arrived into this house still in a state of survival. And unpacked everything as it was. So I'm actually clearing out years worth of shiz.
Well, Carl wants to know, very important, does the room with the pump bed in it smell bad? Where will the pump bed go in the new place? Very important.
Carl, there's not going to be place for the new pump bed or for the pump bed. You know, it's just the way it is, unless I get a two-bedroomer.
God. All right.
So, Leanne, you are.
It's all happening.
It is all happening. You're one of the nicest, like genuinely nicest people I've ever met in my life. Is you surely.
That was really sincere.
No. Leanne is. Because there are people that have to push on the nice thing. And I'm like, hey, Brew, you're a dickhead. I can already tell. Like, Leanne is just nice because it's her default setting. You surely haven't asked anyone to help you move, hey? Surely not. Surely you're not that monster. Maybe you've been a brilliant liar in the 3 years I've known you.
I will have a moving company do everything for me.
Thank Jesus.
Yeah. But as mentioned before, I will bribe with pizza and beer to just provide emotional support on the day and maybe say, hey, why don't you rather put that cupboard over there?
No way.
Why don't you rather not That'd break nice. My things? That would be really nice, too. I agree with Bulelo, though. There is no reason that you should ever draft me into helping you move. It's not going to go well for you. I'm going to say something very rude when you call me and ask me. It doesn't matter how long we've been friends. Just like not fetching people at the airport, which I'll never do, I also am not going to be involved in moving your shit around from house to house. Sorry. Just not something I'm good at. And I don't want to be drafted in on the basis
so
that our friendship means something because I'm helping you move your stuff.
Very odd because I would have pinned you. I mean, you're the first person I think
really?
Of calling
yeah.
when I think of moving. And
really?
Just the emotional
really?
Support that you'd provide and, you know, putting your arm around my shoulders yeah. when I wave goodbye to my old house.
yeah, I'm going to be that
and
person.
And you having set up without me knowing a
yeah,
beautiful
the
picnic
new house.
In the new garden.
Right.
I mean, you know, you're that
you
person.
Know me so well. You know me so well. It's just terrific. Oh my God. Not a chance. In fact, don't even call me for the first 2 months until you moved in. I want nothing to do with it.
Gareth, yeah, we totally know that.
Unbelievable.
You're the person who says, oh, I thought you lived there. And the other person's like, yes, that was 2 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. I did see a friend of mine moved into a new house. He bought because he just got divorced. So he's
oh good for him.
In, yeah, he, yeah. Well, I don't know. We'll have to that. The jury's still out, so we'll have to see. But the wife, obviously, the ex-wife now is in the house that they used to live in together, and now he's bought his own place. But you know how guys are. We're not as let's say. As into creating a home rather than a house, than maybe the girls are.
Yeah.
So it's still very sparsely decorated, to put it bluntly. And there's not a lot of furniture or anything really that's at all decorative, but it's completely functional. Like the kitchen works, the bathrooms work. Yeah. But it's like, it is.
That
looks
box
like,
of books works really well as an ottoman.
Yeah, exactly. And it looks like people have already broken in and stolen everything. That's how it looks right now.
I had a female friend visit my house and she said, it looks like where Dexter takes the people. She went, yo, she said, I look like I'm killing children. So I totally agree with you. It does take a lady's eye to make transition from a house to a home. Yeah.
100%. I mean, at the time I built and moved into my current house, If I didn't have my sister and my mom helping me, because at that stage I was single too, who would have guessed? And
still are.
I mean, yeah.
And we are who we are.
Bought this big house for a
family. Yeah, we are who we are.
Things like curtains and, you know, carpets and all of that stuff. What do I know? I had to ask for advice. So that's how it works.
Mm. Yeah.
Here's Zach. Zach says they helped you move. No, they didn't. They just helped me choose soft furnishings. Don't overestimate I wouldn't lean on other people. Zach says people are super nice a few days before they ask you to help them move, and then they become total bags of dick right afterwards. Even worse, they never show up when it's their turn to return the favor. Absolutely. But then those are not really friends. Stay away from those.
Yeah, it's not a reasonable request to ask someone to help you move. Like, we're all selfish, I get that, but there's moving companies now. Like, if you can't afford a moving company, put it in your car. But sorry.
Bulelo, I know that Leanne wasn't joking when she said that she was going to call on me and you to help her move, because we're just those kind of people. But we're also really good at saying no, so I think it would have been solved fairly quickly. Here's Borge. Hello, Borge. Good morning.
Ah, Borge.
Morning, Gareth. Hello, it's Rianne Molelo.
How are you, man? Nice to see you, George.
I'm scared Leanne's going to now ask me to come and assist.
Oh, no, she'll just ask you to go through the entire Auto Trader website and see if you can find some Pantechnicon with a trailer so you can load all that rubbish onto there.
Oh, goodness gracious.
You know what I'm going to do, Leanne? I'm going to find out where you're moving to. And then I'm going to go there with one of those grass brooms that you could buy on the side of the road.
Mm.
And then I'll put it there with a note saying, don't forget your car. That'll be my contribution.
Oh, Lord. Oh, I feel so supported and loved.
George, have you ever had a witch try and sell a broom on Auto Trader?
No, but we have had somebody try and sell a rocket or a space shuttle type thing.
What?
I'll see if I can
Elon Musk. Is Elon Musk one of your clients? I mean,
no, this was pre Elon Musk. This was probably an Elon Musk wannabe. It was actually in the magazine. It was a decade ago, if I remember correctly. I'll try and dig it up, but there was a. It was a rocket somebody was trying to sell. I mean, it was a reasonably sized rocket. Somebody was trying to sell a space shuttle or something.
Hey, forget you from A to B.
So, Borge, what's been happening with you lately? And where are you in your house at the moment? Because we saw you in your garage the other day. We're used to seeing you in the gyrocopter or about to fly the plane. So are you in your house at the moment? You're just chilling at
home? No. So I'm actually down in the Orange Free State. Yeah, in the Freistaat. I'm visiting my mom for the week. You know, this pandemic and the ability to work virtually, or should I say in our case, everybody's working virtually. You can work from anywhere. I decided to come down to my mom for the week. I came down last weekend, took that iX, that black iX that I had in the garage. BMW kindly let me drive it down. It's standing over here. And saw whether I could reach the Free State or not. So I'm down here for the week. I'm going back tomorrow.
You obviously made it. Otherwise, you'd be calling us from the side of the N1, right?
Exactly. I'd be calling you from the side of the N1 with no battery left in my laptop either.
And what do you do? I mean, like, we always talk about the range on these electric cars, and they're getting better and better at it. And I know that one that you were driving, you probably could go all the way to Cape Town if you just planned it properly. You might have to do a little charge in Bloemfontein. But what do you do, though, if you're in an EV and you do run out of battery? Like, you can't have someone come with jumper cables and a canister of petrol and help you get to the next place, right? You would probably need to find power somehow, and maybe people, I don't know if there is there a charger pack that someone can bring in an emergency, or what do you do?
So you talk like that. I drove my I-Pace once, only ever once, but it was planned. I drove my I-Pace down to absolute zero.
Okay.
To see what would happen. And the car died. Literally got down to zero. The car died. Wouldn't switch on. Nothing would happen. And then fortunately managed to get it to a charger. Plugged the charger in and it wouldn't charge.
Oh boy.
Yeah, so it turns out that the EVs have a 12-volt lead acid battery in the bonnet. Antiquated, it's the probably the most antiquated thing inside an EV is that 12-volt lead-acid battery.
Right.
And if that battery goes flat, it can't power what's called the electronic dashboard and systems, because that's what powers the electronics, not the main battery.
Okay.
Which means that it doesn't tell the charger to accept a charge, which means you can't charge your car.
So, guys, you have to recharge that battery as well as charge the actual
EV. So Jaguar had to come with their with the emergency vehicle. They had to put, you know, like jumper cables onto that battery in order to get the charge unit to accept a charge from the charger, which worked, so it was fine. So there's a couple of things that carry over from ICE vehicles, which is, you know, if the 12-volt battery goes flat, you're buggered.
Wow. Okay. Well, it's
so interesting,
question.
Though. I mean, when we first had vehicles that operated on fuel, they still had to have a battery in them. They're still, you know, I don't know what my point was, but it sounded good in my head.
Well, your point was probably that, you know, you needed electronics in some way, shape, or form. You know, even if it was just to start the starter motor, right, from you know, I mean, I suppose they started with those crank handles in the front of the car.
In the front. I actually think that's quite a cool thing to have.
I reckon it was. So Gareth, I'm down here. My mom works at South Africa's biggest drug rehabilitation center. I'm sitting in the guest house, which is attached to my mom's house. And
she knows you're not on drugs, right? She's not going to come
in
there.
I just wanted to make it clear that I'm not here for that reason, so that no one
Fair enough. Fair enough. Okay.
Taking leave, are you?
What have we got for today, George?
Well, so close to home, a drama unfolded last week where in a Durban car dealership, a customer or a would-be customer crashed a new vehicle through the front of the showroom floor.
Oh.
Were they inside the showroom when they drove out?
Yes. You can look at the picture there.
Gosh.
So there were no serious injuries, but drove straight through. I mean, the doors were open, but he drives through the side. You know, you'll see you in the picture, but you know, a bit of a mishap.
Okay.
Or straight through the front of the showroom.
Just a little bit. Yeah, that's not great. Not a great way to start.
Oh no! What a disaster.
No, I wonder. You know, I wonder in that case. Who's responsible? Like, does the dealership then claim with their insurance? Because, I mean, when you go and drive test drive a car, they don't often make you sign a bunch of documents to take responsibility.
Yeah.
So when you're sitting in the car in the showroom, you just hop in and drive.
You're just taking it around the block, for example.
Yeah.
Okay.
And these things can happen.
That's very unfortunate. Shame. I actually got a picture of it for you. You want to see the mess that they made? And they didn't just go through a window. They went through like a pillar as well. So, I mean, there's structural damage. It's not just replacing the glass.
Yeah.
Am I right, George?
Yep. It's the actual frame you can see in that picture is broken. So I think there's quite a bit of damage.
Not great. Okay, so this was where?
In Durban, last week, Wednesday.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to show you the picture quickly.
And it was a Golf GTI, so, you know.
Look at that. Shame, that's terrible.
That's terrible. That's terrible, terrible. I feel
for embarrassing. Can you imagine the level of embarrassment? Oh, my God. Oh. I would just hold my breath until I died before getting out that car.
And then
what else have we got?
Keeping it closer to home, a South African learner, a retired guy and a K53 instructor told a learner once he had passed his driving test that he wouldn't be able to drive anything else with that driver's license except an electric vehicle.
Okay, and, so
he went to take the driving test in a BMW i3 full electric vehicle, and the National Road Traffic Act 18, paragraph 4 says that in the case where the applicant has, in terms of subsection 2, blah, blah, fish price, provided a vehicle equipped with an automatic transmission or the motor vehicle is electrically powered, endorse the driver's license to the effect that the authority is granted for only driving the motor vehicle with equipped with an electric transmission or an electrical powered system. Hmm.
So if you do your license with just an EV, you take an EV there to do your license, you are not allowed to drive a normal car with a petrol or diesel engine. Only
it
an
was
EV.
Total surprise to me. Absolutely. Total surprise to me.
Yet if you have a petrol license, you can still drive an electric car.
Yes. Good spot, Leanne, because, it doesn't work the other way around. So it's just a subsection that restricts you to an EV.
I didn't know that. That's pretty wild. I would have thought that you could drive either. Okay, well, there we go. So now we've learned something.
Exactly. So just be careful. I mean, I'm pretty sure that they're going to change that in time. It just doesn't make any bloody sense.
No, it's stupid.
I can understand the manual transmission versus the automatic transmission, but not an EV. Come on.
Okay.
It's got even less to do. Electric cars are outselling diesel engines for the first time in Europe. So in Western Europe, car buyers purchased 176,000 EVs compared to 160,000 EVs in December 2021. So EVs in Europe are starting to surpass diesel engines.
Okay. Well, that we could have probably predicted that, but it's happening quite fast, isn't it?
Good.
It's happening really fast, and next stop is obviously South Africa, and then very finally, Gareth, you can now renew your vehicle disc, the one on the windscreen, at Pick and Pays. So Auto Trader's got nothing to do with Pick and Pay. We're not we don't sponsor this at all. Just useful, information. For everybody that wants to renew their licenses, you can do it at Pick and Pay. You can make.
Please let there be a separate queue. I already get annoyed when I'm standing behind someone when I'm buying a bunch of bananas, and they're paying their electricity and they're withdrawing money and counting out coins.
No, you're right, Leanne. There's terrible people that also like in the shops. You can bring from the clothes section to the food section. Oh yeah, well I just bought some nappies for my kids and a little shirt for my 6-year-old.
Right?
Yeah, no, I hate those people, George. So I'm with Leanne on this one. But I think the real victims here, quickly, George, we must talk about, is definitely the husbands, because you're definitely getting that line for the wife's thing while she's getting a charcuterie board or whatever is going on at Pick and Pay. You know what I mean? And oh, that's murder. Murder.
All right.
Well, you can also renew your license disc at the Pick and Pay liquor store if you really want to.
Oh.
That's where I'll go. You get a bonus bottle
Kill
of brandy.
Two birds with one stone.
Yes, that's the way to go. All right. Exactly. Thank you, George. And thank you, everybody. We will see you on Monday, bright and early at 6 a.m. Have an excellent weekend. And make sure you don't miss all those new shows that we got coming up. 9 o'clock this morning, there's a brand new show. And there are, of course, plenty of others, including George and the guys on the Auto Central show, the Auto Trader show, which is on Mondays. Don't miss that. Have an excellent weekend. Cheers, everybody. CliffCentral.com.